Nekeşi.
Blog Talk Radio.
Kurada bak annene keşe. Yoko namaka nene keşe. Kurada baka. We honor you as the Most High God. We honor you as Jehovah Jireh, a mighty provider. You are the one who provides life and life more abundantly. We honor you as Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah El Elyon, the Most High God. We honor you as Jehovah Shalom, our peacemaker. We honor you as the God who cares. We honor you as Jehovah Tikkanu, a righteous God. We honor you as Jehovah Shalom. You are making peace in the earth right now, O God. When kings get together, Father God, you bring peace in the midst of them, Father God. In the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for the leaders of our nation, O God. President Obama, O God. In the name of Jesus, and every elected official, O God, from the mayor to the city council to the school board, in the name of Jesus, the House of Representatives, the Congress, O God, the cabinet of the president, O God, every elected official, Father God, we thank you for them leading according to your plan, your righteousness, O God. Forgive us, Father God, when our nation is led by another God, when our nation, Lord God, is honoring another God. And Father God, your word says to have no other gods before you. So we repent, Father God, for having other gods before you. Oh, Father God, you are the one true and living God who laid down your life for us. Forgive us, Father God. Forgive us, Father. Forgive us when we seek unwise counsel. Forgive us, Father God, when we've done things against your will, against your laws, your statutes, oh God. In the name of Jesus. And Father God, we thank you for blessing our nation, America, O God. In the name of Jesus, forgive us. Forgive our leaders, O God, when they are led, Yokunanamaka, or they're leading your people out of righteousness, O God. O Father God, it is your will that we all come to repentance, O God. In the name of Jesus, that we all bow the knee and ask forgiveness of you. So, Father God, on behalf of America, I say forgive us, Father God, for going a whoring after other gods, even, O God, in the name of Jesus, for coming out of order with your law that says we should have one man and one woman to be married, O God, like you had Adam and Eve, O God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that we were married for procreation, O God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that you ordained the marriage between a man and a woman, and you say, what you join together, let no man put asunder, O God. I thank you today, Father God, for the marriages, and I thank you for the children that came out of those marriages, O God. I thank you, Lord God, that they were not a mistake, that you intended for them to be born to the parents they were born with, in the name of Jesus. And Father God, I lift up families today that are not saved, and I ask you for salvation, O God. Grant them salvation. They can't come unless you call them out of darkness. Call families that are not saved out of darkness to walk in your holy, marvelous light, O God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, O God, that you are the God who saves. You are the God who hears and answers prayers, O God. I thank you that you are a living God, a holy God. And so, Father God, we ask you to bless our nation today like never before. Bless the fathers, bless the mothers, bless the children. Bless the grandparents, bless the aunts, the uncles, the cousins, all family members, O God, and help love, your love to spread to every family member, O God. Let families love one another. Oh, yeke orabaka nene keshe. And Lord, I ask you to bless us and keep us in our families, O God. Keep us close with you and close with each other, O God. Make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lord, lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace in the righteous, mighty name of Jesus. Make us as Ephraim and Manasseh, O God. Let us be satisfied with favor and filled with your blessings, Father God. Lord, command your blessings upon our lives in the name of Jesus. Give us revelation, O God, and let us be blessed, O God. In the name of Jesus, we are the seed of Abraham through Jesus Christ, and we receive the blessings of Abraham. Lord, in blessing us, O God, and in multiplying us, multiply us as the stars of heaven and the sands of the seashore, O God. In the name of Jesus, let your showers of blessing be upon our lives, O God. turn every curse sent our way into a blessing, Father God. We thank you today. Let your blessing make us rich, O God. Let all nations be blessed, Father God. Let all generations be called blessed. In the name of Jesus, we are your daughters, we are your sons, and we are blessed of you, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we are daughters and sons of the blessed. In Jesus' name, we live in the kingdom of the blessed. Our sins are forgiven, and we are blessed. Lord, you daily load us up, O God, with benefits. In the name of Jesus, and we are your chosen children, O God, and we are blessed of you. Our seed is blessed, O God. Let us inherit the land, Father God. We are part of a holy nation, and we are blessed, O God. O Lord God, bless our latter end more than our beginning, O God. Lord, let your presence bless our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. We drink of the cup of blessings, O God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless us and cause our faith, your face to shine upon us, that we may know, that we may be known upon the earth and your saving health among the nations. Let your land, let our land yield increase, O God, and let the ends of the earth hear you, O God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we know you favor us because our enemies do not triumph over us. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, be favorable unto our land. Lord, grant us life and favor in the name of Jesus. In favor, Lord, make our mountains stand strong. Lord, we entreat your favor. Let your favor cause our horn to be exalted, O God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, this is the time, the set time for favor. Excuse me. Remember, O Lord, with the favor that you bring unto your children, and visit us with your salvation, O God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we entreat your favor with our whole heart. Let your favor be upon our lives as a cloud of the latter rain. Let your beauty be upon our lives, and let us be well favored, O God. We are highly favored of you, Lord. Lord, let us receive extraordinary favor because you are gracious, you are merciful, you are kind, O God. And Father, I just thank you today for boys to men, girls to ladies, O God. And Father God, as our children, as our children come unto you, O God, as we allow them to come unto you, we will not forbid them, O God. We will allow them to come unto you and be saved because they are part of your kingdom. Let righteousness reign in our children, O God. Let them hunger and thirst for you more than ever before. Let them start saying Jesus when they're babies and saying their first words, O God. And let them say Jesus throughout their entire lives. Let them lean and depend upon you, not upon their own understanding, O God. And Father God, we love our generation of children, O God. Oh, they're a gift from you, Father God. And so, Father, protect them. Oh, God, as never before, we plead the blood of Jesus over our children, oh, God. In the name of Jesus, we say that our children will be taught of you in the morning when they get up, in the afternoon, and in the evening. Oh, God, when they're in the car, oh, God, and when they're out and about, they'll be taught of you, oh, God. We will speak of you and your greatness and how, Father God, you saved us from this untoward generation. How you put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto you. We will tell that to our generations, O God. In the name of Jesus, how you delivered us out of the hand of the enemy and how you've been saving us on a daily basis, O God. And, Father, we honor you. We honor your presence on boys to men, girls to ladies. And we thank you that you are the great and mighty King. You are the Lord of lords, O God. And I thank you that kings have to bow before you. Even our presidents and the leaders of our nations must bow before you and confess that Jesus is Lord in the name of Jesus. And we pray for our leaders today, Father God, that they would honor you, that they would learn to love you with all their heart, soul, and strength, and that they would lead our nations unto you, O God, that they would say, as for us and our house and us and our countries, we will serve the Lord, the Most High God, the only true and living God. So, Father God, I thank you for bringing them and saving them unto you, O God, in the name of Jesus. And I decree and declare, Father God, that our children in every nation, Father God, will rise up, O God. They will bless you in the name of Jesus. They will be mighty warriors. They'll be battlers, O God. They will be a bone in the throat of the enemy, O God. They will stand up and be courageous and strong and mighty warriors, battlers, O God. And I thank you that our children, along with their parents and extended families, are dressed right. They have on the helmet of salvation. In the name of Jesus, the breastplate of righteousness. Their loins are girded about with truth, O God. In the name of Jesus, and nothing but truth come out of their mouth, O God. In the name of Jesus, our children's feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, O God. In the name of Jesus, and I thank you that they have the sword of the Spirit in one hand and the shield of faith in the other, and you are guarding them from the rear and all around, O God. In the name of Jesus, and as we cry unto you, even our enemies of our children and our families will turn back because you are faithful. And Father God, help our ways to please you, O God, and our enemies will be turned back, O God, in the name of Jesus. Help our ways to please you so that our enemies, in the name of Jesus, will not come up against us, O God, in the name of Jesus. And when I thank you that you are our Lord, you are our shepherd, you are our king. And Father God, your word says that you are great and you honor your word above your name. So do we, O God. We honor your word above your name, and we are grateful that you are the mighty God and that you called us, your chosen, your very elect, to serve you, O God. Many are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen, O God. In the name of Jesus, we bless and honor your presence in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, good evening, and welcome to Boys to Men, Girls to Ladies. And we're going to read the word of God today, beginning in Psalm 75. It says, unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near thy wondrous work declare. Hallelujah. When shall we receive the when we shall receive the congregation, we will judge uprightly. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. We bear up the pillars of it. Selah. We said unto the fools, deal not foolishly. And to the wicked, lift up your horn. Lift not up your horn. Lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. For in one hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. But we will declare forever. We will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked also will we cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we are grateful today that you are with us and that you won't ever leave us. We stand on your word, and we believe your word. Well, good evening, as I said. Today, our message is called, the title of our message is called Doubt, Discouragement, and Double-Mindedness. In and in comes encouragement. Doubt, discouragement, double-mindedness, and in comes encouragement. Now, what is doubt? You ever doubted anything? You know, sometimes doubt is fear, and it's, you know, you suspect, and you're uncertain of belief about a thing. You lack confidence or distrust in certain things, and it's the inclination not to believe. So many people have doubt. But today we come to talk about doubt, double-mindedness, discouragement. In comes encouragement. We all need encouragement. And so discouragement has to do with to deprive of courage or confidence. Disheartened, to hinder by repeated failure. That is discouragement. Now, double-mindedness has to do with being undecided, unstable, insincere, wavering in your mind. But, you know, we need encouragement in this day and time. So I want you to listen to this story, and it's a fictitious story. It's not real. There were boys. These boys were born within 1 week of each other. They are called the 3Ds. And they lived in the city where they lived, the 3Ds. We would call them triplets, but they were born to three different mothers. Now, the interesting thing about this is that their mothers were sisters, and their mothers were triplets from the same mother. Their mothers were named Deborah, Deborah, and Debbie. They were born within minutes of each other. Now, Deborah had her son first, and she called him Little Doubt, for he was a product of the environment his mother was in when he was conceived. Deborah was the oldest of three sisters. She didn't believe in God. She thought, what has God done for me? I have had a hard life. Nobody believed I would succeed in life, and I didn't. I didn't think I was beautiful. I had freckles as a teen, and I wasn't beautiful. I didn't think I was smart, and I flunked 3 grades in school. So I just quit. I was a ninth grade dropout. I worked as a waitress in a cafe. I was 39 and had never been married and never had children. One evening, a nice gentleman came in the cafe where I worked, and when I waited on him, he treated me nicer than any man had ever treated me. Well, he promised to marry me, but that never happened. But 9 months later, because I had so many false promises from my family, and I never knew I could ever amount to anything, I named my son Doubt. My sisters told me that was not a good name, but that's how I was feeling at the time. First of all, I could hardly believe God would give me a child. One, because of my age, and also because I didn't feel worthy to be a mother. I later regretted I named my son Doubt because my son had so much fear in him, and he lacked the confidence I wanted him to have. No matter how much I encouraged my son, he had trouble believing in God and in himself. He felt he was a failure. What do you think I should do to help my son? My son, first, to love God, himself, and others. What do you think I should do to help him love God, himself, and others? My name is Deborah. I'm the sister of Deborah. Deborah was my oldest sister. I was so full of life as a little girl. I believed I could do anything I wanted to do. And whatever I wanted to do, I believed I could do it. I was full of faith. My life was very happy and successful. I completed the University of Success in the United States of Happiness. I met a man, the man of my dream. Believe me, it was a dream, but it turned out to be a nightmare. I was saved when I was 17 and loved the Lord. I used to study my Bible and pray daily. I was a part of an intercessory prayer team in college. I was a part of the Campus Crusade for Christ. We talked to people in the street, in the shopping centers, and we traveled abroad and taught people about our great God. That's how I met my husband, talking to people about God. He didn't know God, and he received the Lord as his personal Savior, so I thought. We dated for a short period of time, then we got married. Not long after our marriage, I saw a drastic change in my husband's attitude towards me. We were from different countries and different cultures. The women in his country and culture were treated with abuse, and he soon started treating me like that, and I became very, 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 very discouraged. Not long after we were married, I became pregnant with our first son, and because I was discouraged, I named him Discouragement. I felt very disheartened about life, and I knew at that time I did not have the courage to stand up for myself, and my confidence in God was lacking. I didn't pray as much as I should have, like I used to. I did not read my Bible, the Word of God. When I would begin to read the Word of God, I would fall asleep. I felt so discouraged about life. My son liked courage and confidence. Also, he was very disheartened by the way we lived. He failed the first grade because I did not pray for him or with him. What can I do about my situation? Will God hear or even answer my prayers anymore? Well, you probably guessed. I'm the baby sister, and my name is Debbie. Everyone in my family babied me. I was spoiled and allowed to have my way. If I wanted to do my chores around the house, I could. But if I didn't want to, I didn't have to. My sisters, Deborah and Deborah, would do them for me. If I decided to sleep late, I could. In school, I did okay, but my sisters did my homework. They did my homework every day for me, all the way through school. My sisters loved me, and they spoiled me. When my mother asked if I did this or that, I lied, and my sisters backed me up. They took up for me at school and at home. I was not very sincere about anything. It was hard for me to make decisions. If I made a decision to do something, in the next hour, I might decide to do something different. I was not good at keeping my word. When I made a promise to do something for my sisters or even my friends, I usually did not do what I said I would do. No matter how important it was, I didn't care. I was allowed to do as I wanted to do, and I did just that. Even when I met my son's dad, he just let me have my way and do whatever I wanted to do. I even left him at the altar on the day of our wedding. He loved me so much, but I was undecided about so many things. I couldn't seem to make up my mind and stick to anything. Well, we eloped. When I said, let's go get married today, he agreed. I was a very poor wife. My sisters used to cook and bring food over all the time and clean up for me. When I got pregnant with our son, I talked my husband into naming him double-mindedness. Because I was double-minded, I was very unstable in every area of my life. My son was the same way. He could not make up his mind about things, even which college to go to. He chose 10 colleges halfway. Half of the forms, the applications were filled out by Deborah and the other one by Deborah. You know his aunts filled out all the applications and he got accepted. He was smart and lazy like me. His dad let him have his way, just like he did me. My son was very unstable. He may leave home saying he was going to one place and go somewhere else. He had difficulty keeping a job. He might be on time 2 days a week and late the rest of the week. What can I do? He's grown now, and that's how I raised him. I'm so discouraged. I don't even know what to do. My sisters and I need help. We all need help. So what can we do? Oh, you know, doubt, discouragement, disbelief, all of those things have come in to our lives, and we just, we don't even know what to do about them anymore. We're just out on a limb, so to speak. So what would you do if you were Deborah, Deborah, and Debbie? What would you do? Well, here's what Christ said in his word. You know, Christ has the answer for everything that we need. So we're going to read Christ's word and see what he says about doubt and about this discouragement and double-mindedness. So, doubt. Here's what Christ said about doubt. Hold on 1 second. I'm looking for it right now. Okay, here's the scriptures about doubt. You know, God don't want us to have any doubt. And so Christ rebuked those who were doubters. Matthew 14:31 says, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, why didst thou doubt?" Matthew 17:17, "Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." Mark 4:40 says, "And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that when that ye have no faith?" Luke 24:25. "Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." So even Jesus wants us to, you know, to believe on him. He doesn't want us to doubt his word. You know, when Jesus says, you know, you're healed by every stripe, he wants us to depend on that word. You know, the doctors come in and bring their report. But the Bible says, whose report will you believe? You know, when the teachers come and they say, well, you know, we think your son is autistic and maybe a little retarded, whose report are you going to believe? The Lord says that your children are healed by every stripe. Are you going to put them on Ritalin? Are you going to have faith and trust in God? Are you going to bow the knee and pray for them? Are you going to find, you know, healthy foods for them to eat? What are you going to do? Are you going to doubt and believe what the doctors say, and the doctors give you a report of what the teachers say about your children? Or are you going to believe the word of God? When they say, you know, when the law says, the law of the land says, you cannot beat your children, and the Bible says if you beat them with a rod, it won't kill them, whose report are you going to believe? When the Lord says, spare the rod, spoil the child, who are you going to believe? Who are you going to follow? You know, Daniel did not compromise. We can't compromise. We have to believe God. We have to believe what God says to us. When God's word said, okay, you can't do this. When God's word said, I'm sorry, you have to make sure that you are disciplining your children. And the law of the land says, oh, you can't do that. Who are you going to obey, man or God? As for you and your house, who are you going to follow? You know, we have to make up in our minds what we're going to do. Who are you going to follow? Are you going to follow man's law? Are you going to follow God's law? What are you going to do? You know, when men come in to discourage you, what are you going to do? Are you going to, you know, just take what they say? Or are you going to believe God's word? But, of course, you know, you got to read and study God's word. You know, when Jesus was on the mountaintop, he had fasted 40 days. Satan came to him, and he told him 3-4 things. And each time the Lord said, it is written. Do you know how to say it is written? Do you know what to say to the devil when he comes? Because it is written. Everything the devil said, God got, you know, encouragement for his people against what the devil said. Now, you know, God does not want us to be double-minded or discouraged. He wants us to be encouraged. So we have to study God's word. We have to follow God's word. How else will we know, you know, what to do? We don't know. We wasn't born knowing God's word. We have to be taught God's word. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I was taught probably when I got back, like about 14 or 15, I was taught the word of God. Then I started searching for myself. They used to teach me, search the scriptures for yourself to see if you're saved. I said, I want to know if I'm saved. So I started looking for myself, started memorizing scriptures. But trust me, I ain't do it on my own. God put it in me. I don't think like that. I had to depend on the Most High God in order to believe like that. I didn't even know, you know, what to do about anything. God had to show me. He had to teach me himself. He had to teach me his ways. I don't know all of God's ways. No, I don't. I have to depend upon him to teach me. I don't know all of his statutes. I have to repent daily because of, you know, being any unbelief, any doubt, any double-mindedness in me. Don't you know God will show it to you, and he'll tell you how you are asking. Say, Lord, show me myself. Show me what areas I'm weak in, I need to repent in. And certainly he will not turn a deaf ear. He will help you. Now, you know, double-mindedness is against God. In 2 Kings 17:33, they feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. Now God said, we're not to have any other God before him. These people were double-minded. So they had other gods. In Zephaniah 1:4, I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and the name of the Chimerims with the priest. You know, these people had, Baal is a false god. They had false gods before the God. And God was displeased. That's double-mindedness. What do you need with another God if you have the Most High God? Some of us make TV our God. We turn it on in the morning when we get up. We turn it on. You know, we leave it on all day. Oh, I got to watch the love of life. We better watch God's word, love, about love. He talks about it in 1 Corinthians. That should be your watching every day. Watch and pray, the Lord says. You know, when you watch and pray, you don't have time to watch TV all day and to listen to that stuff all day long. I mean, it just be going in your spirit. Read the word of God to yourself, to your family. Put it on and play it on a CD in your house or in your car. Saturate yourself with the word of God, and it will cleanse even your very soul and even your thinking. The Lord says, think on these things. So Zephaniah 1:5 says, and them that worship the host of heaven and the housetops, and them that worship and swear by the Lord, and that swear by Melchium. And you know, God wants us to serve him. He is the only true and loving God. We can't be double-minded. We can't straddle the fence. We say, oh, well, I'll serve God today, but you know, I got to go serve the barroom tonight. Or I got to go you know, stand on the corner so I can make some money to feed my children. God don't want us to be double-minded. And, you know, some of the same people show up in church weekly. We realize it's a hospital for spiritually ill people, but God wants us to stop our evil ways. He don't want us to be double-minded like Deborah, Deborah, and Debbie. No servant can serve two masters. There it is. That's double-mindedness. When you serve two masters, you are double-minded. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's the devil. You can't serve God and money or the devil. You've got to serve the true and living God. The devil can't take you to heaven. I don't know about you, but I don't want to waste my time down here and end up in hell. I don't want to burn forever. I burn my finger, I don't know, I can't even count how many times throughout life. And good God Almighty, that thing hurts. And sometimes it hurts for days. I do not want my soul to burn for eternity. So we can't be double-minded. 1 Corinthians 10:21. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. So the word says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve, the table of devils or the God, or God's table. I don't know about you, but you know God prepares the table before us in the presence of our enemies. That's the one I serve. So he said he don't want us to be partakers of devils. And it says James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, just like the one I was reading about. She was so unstable, she couldn't keep her word, and her child came out the same way. James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. In other words, draw close to God, and guess what he's going to do? He's going to draw close to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. And, you know, we were born into sin. Our mothers were born into sin. Our fathers were born into sin. So, you know, when we come to a certain point in life, we said, Lord, be our Lord. Well, let him be our Lord. Let's not hypocrite and straddle the fence and partakers of the Lord's table and the devil's table. We can't do it. We're not to be double-minded. He says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. How do we purify our hearts? The word. The word is a balm, and it washes us whiter than snow. It washes and cleanses us. When you read the word over and over, when you study the word, you will begin to be transformed. You ever seen in a cocoon, and then it grows and grows into a beautiful butterfly, and all of a sudden it's just so transformed. You go like, my God, how did that thing come from that to this? Because it stayed in the cocoon long enough, and God was doing something in it. And that's how we are to be. We were once in a cocoon of sin and all of that. But when we said, Lord, change us, transform us, heal us, cleanse us, make us white as snow, help us not to be double-minded anymore. He did that. And we are becoming the beautiful butterflies. Yes, we are. So, you know, I come to encourage you today. God's word is full of encouragement. In Exodus 14:13, it says, and Moses said unto the people, fear you not, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which we will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Don't you know that's what God does for us? All the Egyptians that's after us, trying to enslave us in bondage, keep us in debt bondage, keep us in health issue bondage, and keep our minds on other things in bondage. You know, all the bondage. God came to set us free. He don't want us bogged down with the cares of this world. God said we have to cast those cares on him. He said the birds of the air, he clothed them. How much more would he do for his children who are called by his name? We don't have to worry. He's going to take care of us. And he is not a man. Guess what? He don't lie. He is the essence of truth. Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saving unto thee. Fear not. I will help you, he says. Read some of these scriptures. Isaiah 41:13. Exodus 14:13. These are words of encouragement directly from God's word. Matthew 9:2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of palsy, laying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven you. Matthew 14:27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. You know, when Jesus is on your side, what do you have to be afraid of? What do you have to fear? I mean, you know, I've been getting out of my car at night, coming from Bible study, getting out of my car, and the Lord said, you're safe. What? I mean, I love to hear the voice of the Lord. Speak to me. I'm like, speak, Lord. Your servant heareth. I love to hear him talk to me. Matthew 17:7. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. Woo, isn't he awesome? We serve an awesome God. Ain't nobody like our God. Acts 23:11 says, And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must I bear witness also at Rome. He was encouraging him. You talk good about me. You spread the good news about me. Now, in Jerusalem, now you're going to go to Rome and spread the good news. Acts 27:22. And now I exalt you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. So read those scriptures. You know, God comes to encourage his people. He don't want his people discouraged and downtrodden. And, you know, when you look at the news, don't believe that report. Believe the report of the Lord. He says, I took care of the birds of the air. You are my chosen one. How much more will I do for you? Don't you know he loads you up with those benefits every day? He don't give you no leftover stuff. He loads you up daily with benefits. And every day he carefully watch over you. I mean, he carefully watch. He ain't setting no trap for you like the devil setting traps. Say, yeah, you think you all that, but you ain't all of that. And you can say, I am the righteousness in Christ Jesus. I am a child of the Most High God. I am a child of the King. Speak back to the devil. Don't let him just talk you down and step all over you. No, you step on the devil's head. You step on him. When he comes to bring double-mindedness and discouragement and doubt to you, you talk back to the devil and you say, listen, it is written, Satan, I will serve the Lord thy God all the days of my life, and him only will I serve. I refuse to even listen to you. You know, the Lord says, my children know my voice. My sheep know my voice. And another voice they will not hear nor answer. So don't we serve an awesome king now. He's the King of Kings. God wants us to be encouraged and strong. In Joshua, you know, 1:6, he told Joshua, he said, I want you to be strong and of good courage. Even in Joshua 1:8, he says, don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. You to meditate on it day and night. Meditate on it day and night. Speak of it. Talk of it. Talk about the word. He says, meditate on it day and night, and then obey what it says in the law. And, you know, everything written in it. Then you shall make your way prosperous. And guess what? You're going to be successful. It's not like Joshua, but it's for us too. There are blessings in the Word of God. Read, study the Word of God daily. You know, I was preparing this lesson, and all of a sudden I got so sleepy. I know it wasn't nothing but the devil just wanted me to be sleepy, wanted me to, you know, just to be tired out so I couldn't, you know, say the words that the Lord wanted me to say that he put in my spirit. I said, devil, you a liar. I will bring forth the message that God had given me for his people, message of words of encouragement. So, you know, like I said, study. You know, when you love somebody, you watch them, you study them, you know their ways, you know their habits. Well, you know, God has commanded us to study him, to know his ways, to know when he's speaking to us. He said, my sheep hear my voice and another voice, they won't hear nor answer. So we got to learn God's voice. And trust me, he ain't no respected person. He don't want just me to hear his voice and somebody else not to hear it. He want all of his children to hear his voice. So dwell in the secret place and say, Lord, I need to hear your voice. And I hear some people say, something told me. No, 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 no. Don't you call God something. God told you. God told you don't go that way. God told you don't do this. God said do this. He said do that. Now do this right here. And then do that. And then do that. That's God speaking to you. You got to know the voice of God. And let me tell you, he comes in all kind of ways. Sometimes he don't just speak in your spirit. He may send one of your children. Say, Mama, that ain't right. Daddy, no, no, no. This is how God wants us to do it. And he may send children to prophesy to you. Oh, yeah. He said your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. You know, old men dream dreams and young men have visions or vice versa. But anyway, the word of God is true. I mean, it's true. And God come to bless you today. He comes to encourage you. You know, he'll knock at your door and he will encourage you. He may have somebody call you on the phone to encourage you. Or he may have somebody come to your house to encourage you, to do something for you. Or just a smile on the street. You may be riding in your car and somebody smile at you. That's God's encouraging you. Or, you know, you could be riding down the street in a rain cloud. You can hardly see. And all of a sudden, you in the sun. And, you know, that's God's way of encouraging you. And you say, Lord, you know what? I'm running short this month. And I need some more money. My children need this and my children need that. Don't you know he's a provider? He go get, you know, somebody may come and say, listen, you know, I was just thinking about you and the Lord told me to give you whatever amount on this check. You know, I'm telling you, he moves in all kinds of ways. He moves in all kinds of ways. I mean, I was ushering one evening at one morning at church. And, you know, getting ready to take up the collection, and this sister behind me, she said, here. And she handed me a $20 bill. She said, God wanted me to give you this. And I said, ooh, because I had been asking the Lord. I said, Lord, I want to buy some gifts for my children. They do so well. They learn so well. They learn so much. They learn so quickly. And they are eager to come. I mean, when on Sunday, they run to their class. On Wednesday, they run to their classes. They are eager to learn the word of God. Don't let the devil beat you down and discourage you. You should be just as eager. He said, except they be as little children. You know, we got to be like little children, eager. Yeah, Lord, thank you, Lord. You could give a child a little feather and say, this is a gift for you. Don't you know just because you gave it to them, they're going to be happy about it? They will be happy about it. Well, anybody have any testimonies this evening? Press one. Testimony time. Press one. Any testimonies where God encouraged you in some way? You can press one. Nobody don't want to talk today, huh? Y'all all silent out there. Nobody, God didn't encourage y'all ever in life. Y'all always been discouraged. I really need to hear a testimony today from somebody about how God has encouraged you in life. You know, what he's done for you. You know, they say, I couldn't keep it to myself what the Lord has done for me. He does awesome things for his people. Just need one testimony today. All right. Here's somebody got a testimony. Hold on, Brother David. Hey, Brother David.
Hey, somebody.
How are you?
I am blessed and grateful. Happy that God loves me.
I know that's right. That's true.
Amen. Well, my testimony is that God continues to grant me mercy and continues to forgive me and continues to love me. Even if the world don't act like they love me, I know that God loves me. And I know that he created me from the smallest speck of dirt. And he created me to win. And God is so phenomenal. And I want to give a testimony to Jesus Christ being the only leader, the only spiritual leader that died and rose again. No other spiritual leader has done that. And I think people miss that significance. And we just happy that, well, Jesus is God in the form of man, but we just happy that God did that for us, that he came back for us, and he didn't even have to come back as Jesus. He didn't have to bring himself down on earth as Jesus if he didn't want to.
Amen.
You know, I don't understand. A lot of people question God about this and that and have doubts and stuff. You know, God is who he say he is.
Yes.
So I just thank him for his love and mercy.
Amen. Me too. Anybody else got a testimony? Huh? Were you finished, Brother David? Did you say something else?
No, ma'am. I'm finished.
All right. Anybody else? Testimony time. Something the Lord has done for you. Well, Ms. Liddell is with us today, that young woman from Appleton, Georgia. Hey, Ms. Liddell. Ms. Liddell? Oh, maybe she got her phone. 706-541. Is that Ms. Liddell? Hello? All right, 706, not saying nothing. I thought it was Ms. Liddell, but I'm not sure. All right. Anybody else? Testimony time. Press 1. Okay. Well, everybody's quiet today. I thank the Father for bringing you all on today. And, you know, he has been merciful now. I'm telling you, God has been so merciful to us. You know, sometimes it seems like things are not going well for you sometimes, and all of a sudden, encouragement comes, seems like from out of nowhere, especially when you read the Word of God. If you're feeling down, go read the Word. Say, Lord, what would you have me to read? Particularly in the book of Psalms and Proverbs. Those are books of encouragement. They will encourage you. When you read about the prophets of old and you read how God encouraged them. Well, you know, I want to tell you about salvation. I remember when I was growing up going to church. My mother started me as a young child. And she used to tell me, now, you be serious about God. Don't play with God. And that thing rang in my spirit, and I never forgot what she told me. And I remember going to church and finding more and more about God. And I was about 16, and I know the Lord, he didn't say it to me, but it was in my spirit that I needed to be saved. I was 16, and I was going to Bible study that night. And I'll never forget, it was in October, and I lived in Ohio at the time, and it was cold Oh, my God, it was cold in October. I don't even remember. I don't think there was snow on the ground, but I remember it was cold. And I, when they asked anybody wanted to be saved, I walked up there. And they were really surprised because they've been telling me, you here all the time anyway, you may as well be saved. So I made it formal. I said, Lord, I want to be saved. And I want my family to be saved. I was 16 years old. Now, I'm going to tell you, I haven't been perfect. I've been a prodigal daughter, you know, out there doing whatever they said, my own thing. But I thank God that he had mercy on me while I was a prodigal daughter. He had mercy on me. He saved me as a child. And I will never forget how merciful he's been to me, how good he's been. And you know, he has led me on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He could have taken me out while I was out there, you know, being double-minded, you know, being doubtful out there, you know, just living my own life instead of following him. He could have taken me out, but he didn't. He was so merciful. And, you know, I started praying for my family, and I remember my father got saved, my mother got saved, my family members got saved, my brother. And so I thank the Lord. I am truly grateful for God because he does save people. And, you know, in Romans 10:9-1, that's what I did. I confess that Jesus is Lord, and I believe, even to this day, I believe that the third day God raised Jesus up from the dead. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, that I believe in the Lord. And he saved me at 16 years old, and I've been saved ever since. And I thank the Lord for that. I did not say I was perfect, that I never made a mistake. Oh, my God. I sometimes used to cry when I said, Lord, look how many times I crucified you. Look what I did against you. But, you know, he's so forgiving. Backslid many times. But, you know, he don't want us to backslide no more. Look at the things around you. You know, when you read Revelations, it talks about leaving your first love. We got to come back to our first love. We got to come back to Jesus because one day he's going to come. He said, you know, maybe one will be working in the field, somebody be on the job, somebody be here, somebody be there at home or wherever. He's going to come. He's going to crack the sky and come. But the thing about it is we don't know. People have predicted, oh, he's going to come in 2010. He's going to come in 20 whatever. He's going to come in 19. Nobody knows that but the Father when he's going to come. So we got to be prepared. So prepare yourself to meet your maker. We don't know when he's going to come. We are praying for longevity, that we would live long, 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 long lives. But you know the Father has a plan for each of us. So it is closing time on Boys to Men, Girls to Ladies. I want to say that I love each of you, but guess what? The Father loves you more than I can ever love you. And the Father has loved you since before you were placed in your mother's belly. And he will continually love you throughout eternity. But guess what? Whenever we sin, we got to say, Abba, Father, forgive us. We still got to repent. So I look forward to speaking to each of you this Saturday. We will be back on live on Bible Storyland. We have a great speaker that's coming on. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but we have a great speaker coming on April the 6th, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 a.m. Central Standard Time. You know, the Lord wants us to be strong and in the power of his might. In order to do that, you know, if you're going to bake a cake, you're going to get your recipe book out. Or you're going to get one of those recipes your parents taught, your mama taught to somebody. So, you know, the Bible is the recipe book that we got to use to teach our children how to get to heaven, to teach ourselves about the Most High God. And guess what? It is a roadmap to heaven. We don't know the way, but he is the way. So be encouraged. I love each of you. Like I said, God loves you more. Spread the love. Spread the love. Spread the love. I look forward to talking to you on Thursday. So don't forget, spread love, the love of Jesus that he put on the inside of you. Spread it to other people. even to the unlovable, even those who they growl at you, ain't got nothing good to say. They need love. That's all. They just need love, the love of the Father. So spread the love of the Father that he put on the inside of you. And I look forward to speaking to you on Saturday and next Thursday and so forth as the Lord leads. Have a God-filled night, a God-filled week, a God-filled month, and a God-filled year. And spread the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Love y'all. Bye-bye.